Hey, welcome back. This is Kevin Woodman with Philadelphia Eagles Talk. This is episode 7 of my brand new podcast about Philadelphia Eagles and Philadelphia Eagles related topics. Today, I'm going to be going over the week 17 final game. The Eagles could not let the season end, though, without embarrassing themselves one more time with a, you know, it's basically the caper that everybody saw coming. They were trying to lose that game, and they couldn't do it without shooting themselves in the foot nationally and garnering a bunch of negative national media attention, which is, you know, something that they've pretty much come accustomed to. And the way that this all unfolded, the way this entire season unfolded, I couldn't help myself but last night just be gripped with this horrifying scenario, this horrifying reality that the Philadelphia Eagles are probably without a doubt the most dysfunctional franchise in the league right now. I don't even think it's close. I mean, there's a couple other teams that really could be fighting for that number one spot. I mean, teams like the Jets, who went 2-14 and had a worse record, they fired their head coach, so they might be trending in the right direction. That's something that you can point to and say that, you know, maybe they're not as dysfunctional because they just fired one of the most dysfunctional head coaches. You could look at teams like the Texans, who traded away. I mean, they have a very similar record to the Eagles, slightly worse. They're ahead of them in the draft. They don't even have a first round pick next year. They traded their first round pick to the Dolphins, so that's definitely a black eye that they don't even have the draft capital to try to turn that ship around. But they did fire their horrible GM. They did fire their horrible coach in Bill O'Brien, who made the stupid decisions that got this team from essentially a playoff team to a bottom feeding team with no real future, outside of the fact that they still do have some really good players, obviously, in Houston. But those are two teams you could point out that the Eagles are competing with for most dysfunctional team. The Jaguars, they had the number one pick, but I think a lot of that was by design. I think they wanted to have a top pick so they could get a quarterback of the future, because I mean they rolled the dice with Gardner Minshew. They wanted to see what the guy had, and you know, he shows some ability, but at the end of the day, I mean, they didn't go out there, they're smart about it. They went out there, put a bunch of the young talent on the field and said, let's try to grow a football team for the future. I mean, I feel like they're you know, at least what they're looking to try to do, at least their vision for what their future is probably better than the Eagles as well. And ultimately, the reason that I'm saying that these are all probably better situations in Philadelphia right now is because the Philadelphia Eagles don't seem to have a vision. They seem to have a lot of confusion, a lot of dysfunction, and a lot of delusions about what they think that they really are. And that's probably the scariest part, because if you look at the writings on the wall, I mean, they haven't gone through all the offseason yet. We're going to see who gets traded, who gets cut, who gets released, who gets restructured. But at the end of the day, I mean, the scariest part about the Eagles is they just seem to not have a direction. And the fact that there's so, you know, a lot of these teams have identities already. A lot of these teams that I'm talking about, that I'm comparing to the Eagles to, they at least have an identity of what their future is going to be. What is the Eagles' identity right now? It's dysfunction. And how is that identity going to change if they refuse to change the people that appear to make it dysfunctional? Guys like Howie Roseman, guys like Doug Peterson, who was a big part of the embarrassment last night. Guys like Carson Wentz sound like they're out the door, and Jim Schwartz, who actually had some stability, in my opinion. Jim Schwartz stabilized the defensive side of the football at the very least. Doug Peterson's never even really been a part of the defensive side of the football as long as he's been in Philadelphia. It's always been kind of considered, you know, let Jim Schwartz handle that. Doug, you worry about the offense. But ultimately, if you don't get rid of these guys and you don't start fresh, you're never going to build a new identity. You're just kind of prolonging this embarrassment and prolonging this disaster. And I think they're going to prolong it for another year, to say the least. I don't know. I mean, I really do feel like you're going to see a lot of veterans. I've said this in a previous pod. You're going to see a lot of the veterans that you don't expect, especially gone this year. And I think that three of them you saw on the field last night. There was a story that Carson Wentz, Zach Ertz, and Jason Kelce stayed on the sideline until about 1 a.m, even though the game ended at close to midnight or whatever, or 11 o'clock, whatever the time the game ended. But they stayed out there just talking, probably, you know, not knowing what the future holds for any of them. But I think all three of those guys are going to be gone in one capacity or another. Zach Ertz seems to know it. He was crying at a press conference, a postseason press conference today. So he seems to know that his future in Philadelphia is probably over. Whether they, you know, said that to him in so many words, or if he just sees the writing on the wall based off of the salary cap and his contract situation, is yet to be seen. But he's probably right. He's probably going to be gone. They can't afford him. Carson Wentz, he has to know he's gone. I mean, he didn't even dress yesterday, which, You know, that wasn't an obvious indicator that they're looking to trade him. I don't know what else is. The whole Carson Wentz trade thing that's going to, you know, play itself out here in the offseason. The Eagles, that's another thing where their dysfunction is really going to cost them. And I think it's pretty obvious. They want to trade Carson Wentz. They want to let him, you know, find a future elsewhere. And I think that the best way to do that, and that's why you keep seeing these reports that Carson Wentz wants out, Carson Wentz wants out. The Eagles almost have to handle it from that approach. They have to handle it like, no, we want him back. You know, they have to try to drive up his value. Say, no, we want him back. He's a very valuable asset to this team. But he wants to go, so we're going to let his agent facilitate a trade. If they stay out of it like that, it's probably best case scenario for the Eagles to try to get as much value from Carson Wentz as possible. If they can maintain that, no, we want him back, and that's been Doug's position, is no, we want him back. We have a lot of faith in Carson, yada, yada, yada. When in reality, they're doing all the things that show you the exact opposite, which is benching him, playing Sudfeld before they played Carson in the season finale. You know, a lot of things that they really are doing that really point to the obvious, which is they want to take the Moneyball approach. It seems like that's what they're going to do now, based off the fact that they kept going all in to try to get another run at a championship, and it didn't work. So now they're going to go Moneyball. They're going to go cheap. They're going to try to get rid of a lot of these aged veterans. I don't know how far these cuts are going to go. I don't know if you're going to see guys like Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks. Like I said, Kelsey's probably going to retire. I don't think there's really any doubt about that now, in my opinion. So you might see their top three linemen all gone. I mean, Jason Peters obviously is gone. Then you might see on the defensive side, their defensive line has a lot of salary tied up in it. You might see Derek Barnett go. You might see Fletcher Cox go. You might see Brandon Graham go, even though these guys had great seasons. It's to the point where it seems like if you're over 30, this might be a good time to cut bait and just start over completely, which, like I said, I think that's what they need to do at a deeper level. I think they need to do it in the front office, and I think they need to do it in the coaching staff. I'm to that point now, even though I really like Doug, and I really think I was to the point where I really wanted to keep Doug. Now I'm to the point where I'm like, you know what? We need a whole new identity. This team is just too dysfunctional. Maybe I'm reacting in the moment, but I think that this team is just too dysfunctional to try to act like they can turn it around. I think sometimes it's easier just to go and start over than it is to try to turn around something that's, you know, because the biggest issue with the Eagles is they just don't have any leadership. You don't know who the leader is. Who is the guy who is the person that's leading you to success? Anytime throughout football history, when you look at successful organizations or even just single Super Bowl runs, like, you know, there's always a guy you can point at, which is why that team won or why that team has sustained success. When you have like multiple championships, like you have with the Patriots, you mean, obviously Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, these are the guys you can point to that were the obvious reasons that those teams were winning. When Peyton Manning was winning Super Bowls, everywhere he went was successful. You know, he was the guy. All this stuff starts with one person. Who is that one person on the Philadelphia Eagles right now? I mean, when the Eagles won their Super Bowl and they started off really hot, you thought maybe it was Carson Wentz because he was playing outstanding, but then they won the Super Bowl without him, so you thought maybe it was Doug Peterson. But then Frank Reich left, and a lot of people are like, well, maybe it was Frank Reich because he's having way more success in Indianapolis than the Eagles are having in Philadelphia, especially on the offensive side, especially when it comes to, I mean, their whole, you know, the defensive side's better too. So maybe he was the guy. But the one thing I think is very obvious is it's not Howie Roseman. I think that team in 2017, when you look at it now, he got a lot of credit for some of the one-year deals that he made, some of the cheap guys that he brought in. And I think in reality, I think the coaches just made it work. I don't really think that it was Howie's master strategy that worked out. I think it was the coaches that they had at the time that were really solid and put those guys in a really great position to win, especially Frank Wright on the offensive side. And I'm really trying to take a hands-off approach and just kind of watch and see what happens with this team, because it's such an unprecedented disaster that it's really hard to know where to even begin. I mean, how are the Eagles going to spin historically, you know, trading a franchise quarterback in the prime of his career before his $100 million contract guaranteed money even starts? It's so unprecedented what they have to do now based off of how bad they fell on their face with this contract, because ultimately you never even had to pay Carson Wentz. You could have franchised him if you weren't sure about him and alleviated all this issue. It just could have just moved on scot-free. I mean, that's a monumental disaster, a historic level disaster. Carson Wentz's contract and now having to trade him and still have to pay him like $34 million just to trade him, which is insane. Completely screwing the cap for the upcoming season, to say the very least. And then you also have other contracts like that, like the Alshon Jeffrey one. What was Alshon Jeffrey doing that made them think that, you know what, this is a guy that we could push back all his guaranteed money. And it just didn't make, if you look at it now, it's like, what the hell are they thinking? Alshon Jeffrey's contract, he never performed in Philadelphia the way that he performed in Chicago statistically. I mean, his best years were before he got here. And then when they paid all that money to get him on a 1-year deal, by the way. The 1-year deal that they signed to get him into Philadelphia wasn't the contract that screwed up their salary cap. It was when they extended him. But like I said, he really only had success statistically in Chicago. He never had a Pro Bowl season in Philadelphia. In fact, his last couple years in Chicago, you could see that he was degrading and that his ability was going down. So the Eagles went ahead. They paid him a ton of money to bring him in here on a 1-year deal. He never really panned out. But of course, he was probably their best receiver the first 2 years that he was here. And then the last 2 years, he just really hasn't done much at all. This season especially, I mean, their master plan to convince Doug to keep him on the roster pretty much all year. He only played in 7 games, and he caught 6 total passes. So it seems like their master plan was to try to revamp his value as well, because trading him once again will save more salary cap money than cutting him outright, which obviously worked out really well considering he had 6 catches in the entire season, through 7 games, through 7 appearances. So less than 1 catch a game. I'm sure teams are going to be knocking the Eagles' door down to try to get him. But, you know, like I said, that's just one disaster on a pile of disasters. Like I said, this whole situation, which is, makes it so untenable, is you just don't even know where to begin. So I think the worst case scenario has come true for the Eagles, and I don't think a lot of people are going to want to trade anything. Even Zach Ertz, if you would have traded him before the season, he would have had a very good amount of trade value. I don't think he has any trade value now. I mean, considering he's overpriced, he's in the last year of his deal. And it's not that I want to see Zach Ertz go, because obviously, he caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. I mean, this is a guy, he's a Philadelphia legend. He's going to be a Eagles Hall of Famer. But at the end of the day, I mean, he still has a lot of cachet. This is a guy who I think just turned 30, and it's not like there's a ton of great tight ends in the league, and he still has the ability to be a very good tight end in the league. But once again, his stats fell off the map this year. He went from, 2 years ago in 2018, having over 1,000, he set the NFL record for tight end receptions in a season, and having 1,100 yards, to last year having a very good year despite missing 1 game. He caught 916 yards. And then this year he missed a lot of games, although he still played in 11, and he only caught 36 passes for 335. You could say injuries play its part. You could say poor quarterback play its part. So I think that should be, you could probably move him without too much issue, which, like I said, is a sad thing. Obviously, you don't want to see one of the greatest tight end / receivers in Eagles history go, especially one that's very responsible for the Super Bowl championship as much as any other player on the team. But that's just the reality of it. The Eagles can't afford him. They can't extend him. And as a football player, I don't think that the people that represent him, I don't think they would want him to play another year going into a 31-year-old season with no contract. So there's no doubt in my mind that they probably, Zach Ertz, as much as he wants to be here, he has to do the smart thing and take care of himself, take care of his family, and say, you know what, we can't play without a contract, which is exactly what Malcolm Jenkins did before the Eagles got rid of him. So while I still look at this team, and I said this in my last podcast, I still look at this team and I still like a lot of young talent that they have, especially on the offensive side. I don't know what this roster is going to look like in a couple of months. But I do like the fact that they were able to complete the tank and, you know, lose that game, giving them the 6th pick in the draft. I'm still not 100% sold that the Eagles shouldn't draft another quarterback. That's something that I hear a lot of people talking about. It's something that you hear whispers that, hey, maybe that's the best move. This is definitely a really good quarterback draft coming up here, and the Eagles will probably be in a position to get one. But when people are complaining that the Eagles tanked and they don't know why they would tank just to get 3 extra draft positions, to me, that answer is very simple. I think that they know this draft has 3 very good receivers that will go in the top 10. And if they didn't tank, they might have missed out on all of them, because they could all be gone by number 9. There's a likelihood, if the Eagles did draft 9th, that maybe all the receivers are off the board, because I think that they're all top 10 caliber picks. So it's possible. I mean, I think at the very earliest, one of the first receivers off the board could go to the Dolphins at number 3. And at number 6, I think you can pretty much guarantee the Eagles will get one of those receivers. Maybe you know, the second best receiver in the draft, where if they're drafting ninth, maybe all three of those receivers are gone before they get the pick, and then they're back in the same boat, which is, you know, no support around their young quarterback, which I think is the number one priority for this offseason. They have to do the same thing that the Bills did by getting Stephon Diggs to Josh Allen, that Kyler Murray, when they got, you know, DeAndre Hopkins to Kyler Murray, all these guys stepped their game up when you bring in these you know, stud receivers to help out your young quarterbacks. That's what the Eagles failed to do for Carson Wentz. They can't fail to do that again for Jalen Hurts. But with that being said, it wouldn't surprise me if they drafted a quarterback. I wouldn't be too mad about that. If the Eagles drafted a quarterback at number six, or if they even tried to trade up, there are several quarterbacks who will be available, whether it's Zach Wilson. I mean, I've seen a lot of mocks, though, that have them all going. I think you're going to see a quarterback go 1 and 2, whether it's the Jets at number two to take Justin Fields and start over, or whether they trade out of that pick, which the Eagles are in a position now to possibly do. I mean, they've moved up further in the past to get Carson Wentz than any team in NFL history. That's something that I have to say when even though I'm saying maybe it's best to get rid of Howie Roseman and start over, you do have to remember Howie Roseman has done some pretty unreal things as a GM, some basic robberies when it comes to what he's been able to do as a GM, to the point where, you know, you can point at that and say he is one of the better wheelers and dealers when it comes to, number one, contracts, but also trades in the NFL. And he just hasn't been very good at it lately, and I think that's because the contracts have been so poor that they've, you know, hampered his ability to try to get trades done as well. He can't really bring in contracts. But if you look back to when the Eagles, to what he inherited, when Chip Kelly basically did what Bill O'Brien did, which was basically demolish a roster, really just mess everything up, get rid of everything of value. That's kind of what Chip Kelly did, but he kind of invented that. Chip Kelly went ahead and got rid of LeSean McCoy, he got rid of DeSean Jackson, he traded away, you know, he just got rid of a lot of talent. He let Jeremy Maclin go, you know, he basically destroyed that roster, and then he brought in guys that didn't fit or didn't work, and he paid him a bunch of money. Guys like Byron Maxwell, guys like DeMarco Murray, who was paying one of the most ridiculous contracts in the league, and Howie Roseman came back and inherited that problem, and he basically turned water into wine. He basically, if people forget, they were the 13th pick that year, because even though Chip Kelly's last season was a disaster, it wasn't as bad as this year. And he was able to take a lot of things that he didn't want on the roster and move up to the second pick in the draft. And he did it without mortgaging much of the Eagles' future, like you would think. To move up from 13 to 2 to get a franchise quarterback, it's never been done to move up that high in the draft, first of all, from so low to so high. That jump was unprecedented. But he did it shipping off parts and pieces that the Eagles didn't want. He did it by shipping off DeMarco Murray, who they had to get rid of because of his bloated contract, and he wasn't succeeding anyway, and he shipped Byron Maxwell to the Dolphins to swap picks from 13 to 8. Then he went from 8 to 2, and he really didn't give up a ton. He gave up like two first-round picks and a couple of third and fourths and stuff like that. Didn't really, you know, sacrifice the future too much, especially when you're talking about getting a franchise quarterback who almost won MVP in 2017. So then he completely flipped around this roster and was winning a Super Bowl within a couple of years. So he took a roster that looked pretty much barren of talent, horrible contracts, and he's fixed it. So you almost think, like, you know, I know you don't want to cloud your judgment with 2017, the Super Bowl, and, you know, you can't view that anymore because this has gone so disastrous. But he did do it once. He did flip a roster just like this. Horrible contracts, not a lot of talent, and he did, you know, turn water into wine and come out smelling out like a rose, as they did win a Super Bowl. And I do think it's possible he could do that again. But I think you've also noticed over the years that teams have been more reluctant to deal with Howie Roseman because he knows that he's basically selling, you know, he's basically like a used car salesman selling a broken down car. Because, I mean, even though DeMarco Murray did have some success, I actually think they traded DeMarco Murray to the Titans for a fourth. But either way, they traded... As I messed up the trade to Miami, they traded Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell. They traded DeMarco Murray, I think, for like the first pick in the fourth round, which ultimately went with Carson Wentz to the to the Browns. But I mean, that's once again, I mean, that's a great job. That's the bottom line, is he's done a really good job shipping off things that he doesn't want and getting back good resources. And I think that if they play their cards right, I think that the Eagles could get a first round pick for Carson Wentz. I hear a lot of people saying that they're not going to get a lot for him. He's still young. He's under contract. These things are definitely appealing to teams. And I think that you could sell it to a team that thinking that they're a quarterback away from winning something substantial. I think that you could see a lot of teams with interest. A couple of teams, I mean, I think the Redskins in division would be interested. They need a better quarterback. Alex Smith looks like a shell of himself, and he was never really that great to begin with. So, I mean, that's one team right there. I don't know if they'd be interested in trading him in division, but that's one team right there that I think could have some interest based off of what he's done to them in the past. I mean, he's had a lot of success against Washington over the years, so maybe they view him with a little bit more, possibility than other teams. That's one team. The Niners are a team that's come up as the Niners probably want to get away from Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know if Carson Wentz is a huge upgrade there, but Jimmy Garoppolo, he's been injured so much. Once again, I don't know if that's a huge upgrade from Carson Wentz because he's been injured a lot as well. But there's another team that you could be thinking about. I think a team like the Bears, I mean, their contract is pretty much up with Mitch Trubisky. I don't see any reason. I mean, they had no issues trading for Nick Foles' contract, who, you know, that contract was kind of big for, you know, for a team to make a trade for. That's another team. I mean, you put him on the Bears, maybe that's a team that can improve and be a Super Bowl contending team with, you know, some better quarterback play. Maybe a team like the Falcons would want to, I mean, if they're going to move on from Matt Ryan, maybe they would be a team that'd be interested. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. I think some of the more obvious ones, though, would probably be a team like the Colts, which a lot of people have said that obviously Frank Reich's had success with in the past. Maybe he would be interested in working with them again. Even a team like the Broncos, which obviously they haven't solved their quarterback issues since Peyton Manning left. There's a couple of good teams. I mean, maybe the Patriots. Patriots might be looking for a new quarterback. I really don't think that they're going to roll the dice with Cam Newton. So when you look at how many teams out there could really be interested in changing quarterbacks, maybe even the Jets, once again, there's a connection in there since Joe Douglas went to New York. There's a lot of teams out there that probably need a quarterback more than, you can drive the price up based off of that. You can try the price up based off of there's so many teams out there that really could use a quarterback, and there's only so many in the draft that are going to solve these issues. So I could definitely see a scenario where Carson Wentz yields way more than a lot of people are thinking. And I think at the very least, the Eagles, if they play it right, which like I said, I kind of feel like they are, even though it's really transparent, by letting Carson Wentz seem like the guy driving the trade rather than the Eagles, so the Eagles can maintain, like, no, we still want him. We don't want to see him go. He wants to go. That's the best way to get maximum value for Carson Wentz, is to act like, well, I mean, we want him here, but, you know, he doesn't want to be here, so what are we going to do? You know what I mean? That's the best hand that they could play, and it's the definitely the way they're trying to spin it. So when you're wondering why these reports are coming out on game day, where they're coming from, they're not coming from Carson. They're coming from the Eagles. I really feel they're coming from either the Eagles management team, or, you know, Howie Roseman's feeding it to these national reporters, something of that nature. It's not, I don't really think it's coming from Carson's side. I think it's the Eagles pushing this out there so that, you know, they can try to maintain as high a value as possible, because you're seeing it all right now. I mean, Howie just did a press conference, and, you know, Howie and Doug, they just lie like the day is long. I mean, it's just lie after lie after lie. There's no real truth in any of it, and you can see right through it. And I'm sure if the fans can see right through it and the media can see right through it, that other ownership and other management teams around the NFL can see right through it. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. They're trying to play poker. I don't think they're doing a very good job, but they're trying to play poker. And since the fact is that he is a franchise quarterback, or he is a franchise caliber talent, at the end of the day, I still feel there's going to be suitors, because there are desperate teams out there that are going to, they're going to need a quarterback. They're going to need to try. I mean, are you telling me that if Bill Belichick says, come on out to New England, he can't fix Carson Wentz? I think he could fix just about anybody, with the exception of the fact of Cam Newton, who he didn't do a very good job of supporting either. I mean, that's the thing about, the New England Patriots. I mean, they did the same thing to Cam Newton that the Eagles did to Carson Wentz, which is give him no real weapons, no real support, and expect him to go out there and just win games, I guess. So that would be something that would have to be remedied for Carson Wentz to have success, I would think, because he's proven that he can't have success with nobody around him. I mean, he has at times, but he's proven over the long haul that he's not going to have a ton of success unless you get him some real weapons around him, which 2017 might have been his best year with Torrey Smith and Alshon Jeffrey before he's really fallen off, and Zach Ertz, and a really good running game, by the way, which a lot of people forget to mention, with LeGarrette Blount and bringing in Jay Ajayi. I mean, they had a really good three-headed monster that year as far as running backs. So that's something that he's definitely going to need. But I do feel optimistic. I continuously try to feel optimistic about the Eagles roster. It's just to the point now where I just don't feel very good about their management team, and I don't feel really good about the coaching staff. These things are making me more and more concerned. Doug just seems more and more like a puppet, which is not something that I want to see, which is not something that I want out of my head coach. I want a guy who is going to do what he wants to do, and hopefully it'll work out. But I don't want a guy that's taking cues, and he's done that his entire career in Philadelphia. That's the only reason. You can't tell me that when Travis Fulgham was lighting it up, that he personally, as an NFL, talent evaluator and head coach, said, I got to get Alshon Jeffrey out there, who only caught 6 balls all year. Travis Fulgham caught 10 balls in one game against one of the best defenses in the league in Pittsburgh. Why? Under what scenario would Doug Peterson say, you know what, got to get Alshon out there over this guy? It's obvious. He is a team player, and they said, look, we got to try to get Alshon off the books for a cheaper deal. We got to try to revamp his value. We need him to play enough that we can try to snooker some team out there into taking his contract off of our hands. And that's something that it's evident. He's done multiple times where it seems like contracts have dictated who plays. And that's the thing, too. Like, if they somehow do bring back Carson Wentz, and if they can't trade him, or they can't trade Zach Ertz, or they can't trade Alshon Jeffrey for whatever reason, whatever. If any of these guys come back, it's not a fair quarterback competition to Jalen Hurts if Carson Wentz is there making all that money, because Carson Wentz is going to get another crack at it based on the fact that he's making all that money. The Eagles have shown that that's what they do. Same thing with Dallas Goedert, who's not making really a lot of money right now at all, and Zach Ertz is. If Zach Ertz is healthy, he's going to, and they're trying to trade him type of thing, he's going to get priority because that's what the Eagles do. And this isn't based off of what Doug wants to do. And that's one of the saddest things about Doug as a head coach, is he doesn't have the freedom to say, this guy's playing, I don't care what he's making, he's playing. You know what I mean? Because he's playing well. Which is something that I feel like, I mean, it's not his fault that Howie's messing up the contracts and messing up the money so poorly that Doug has to play ball and try to cover his ass by playing guys that don't deserve to play based off of salary, based off of future projections of them trying to trade people. It's really sad. That's one of the things where I still feel like I said, I'm kind of going wishy-washy here. I'm kind of back and forth, but I really feel like Doug isn't the problem. It's more Howie Roseman's the problem. But like I said, Howie Roseman has shown the past that he's been able to turn water into wine. So it's really something where it's really hard to say, but it's just this whole situation just feels like there's not a bright future right now, because even though you could hope for the best when it comes to Howie in the offseason, I feel like he's going to fail, because I've seen a trend where most teams don't want to deal with him. And I feel like because he typically gets the better of them. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's less teams that want to try to work with him based off of that. And at the same time, I feel like Doug's been so hamstrung by all this that I feel like the team's just going to just not look at him the same way they might have in the past. And I feel like he could be losing the locker room in a number of different ways. So that's it. That's the podcast, episode 7. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up there. As, stories come available throughout the week, I'll drop podcasts here and there. I don't really have a weekly schedule yet, but I will try to do at least one or two of these a week. And I might also do some podcasts based off of NFL stories like the playoffs, because obviously this is the most exciting time of the year when it comes to being a football fan, other than the draft. I mean, I love the draft. I'm going to be going over mock draft stuff, and but I'm going to put it out there right now, though. The Eagles, to me, they've already airmailed their intent, and I already said that in the podcast, that they wanted that 6th pick so they can guarantee themselves a receiver. I would be shocked if they don't draft the best receiver available in this draft, but it wouldn't be the first time because I was shocked when they drafted Jalen Hurts. And I wasn't shocked when they drafted Jalen Reagor because I ultimately kind of called that. And I got receipts, although I didn't have my podcast going back then, but I did call that they would draft Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. I was definitely shocked when they drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside as well over DK Metcalf, which a lot of people were calling for. So it wouldn't surprise me if they surprised me. But at the end of the day, I do feel like they've learned from their lesson. And I also feel like it's to the point where they have to appease this fan base. And I think that drafting Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith or whoever's available, best receiver available, with the sixth pick, I do feel like that's going to be the move that they do just to try to, first of all, support Jalen Hurts. And secondly, try to, appease the fan base, which I think is important. So I'm going to end the pod there. Other than that, thanks for listening. This has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk with your host. I'm Kevin Woodman.